I woke up to a world, senseless, murderous, crappy. Tell me, Zachary, now when did you whack off for my sister? I just opened my eyes and I found out my brother died and gave me his heart because Zach shot him in the head. A whole new world. Pine Valley just ain't been the same. My husband shot my brother and my dried up mother can only say, don't worry, a whole new world. With a niece who's really my stepdaughter. And did I mention that my summer house is flat? At least I don't have cankles and I'm still rich. Unbelievable crap. Characters so unlike themselves. Chuck Pratt, when will the end come of this endless stream of poo? A whole new world. Pine Valley just ain't what it was. Characters acting dumb where they come from. Maybe Pratt thought he was writing for passions. I just can't take more of this creep. His writing is really bad. Makes Jordan mad. Fire Chuck before he ruins AMC. Oh, people. That Chuck Pratt. How much more can we take of this crap? Fire Chuck Pratt ABC! Because Chuck Pratt sucks it!
This week on All My Children, Kendall Hart Slater wakes up to a whole new world.
David finds his true love and his name is Brat.
Yet another woman walks out on Tad.
Tad, you better strap baby Jenny to the crib.
And lesbian showers bring menopausal mothers.
But thank God it brought back Mary Smythe. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
You cannot talk about what I did.
I forgot.
This is an All My Children Podcast.
I can't help it. It's so tempting.
DMV is going to be mad.
It's so
stop it.
WMD. It's gonna be tempting. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. They might as well have been French kissing when they told Bianca they were not having an affair. They might as well have been having intercourse. That's how close they
were. It's kind of hard to believe that you're not having an affair when Zach's holding your right breast
and
like Mary.
I'm believing that. It's true.
Prime rib sounds good. Prime rib. A prime rib.
We decided last week shit was okay.
Yes, shit's okay.
Shit is okay.
Shit. I try to forget all that shit that's happened.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Randy gets Randy or something like that. First of all, Randy, you are the most stupidest hooker because no hooker uses her real name. You don't want to make her mad. Don't make her...
I think I'm watching the best comedy on TV when I watch this show. Did you laugh your ass off when Crystal's Tic Tacs fell out of her purse? I don't need these. I'll give them up right now. I take them to sleep. Take them to go to sleep.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending January 30th, 2009. That was bright and cheerful,
that
wasn't
was,
it?
You were very bright and cheerful. You're like Rebecca Sunnybrook Farm today.
I'm trying to be bright and cheerful.
I will try.
Amidst the ruins.
I will try to be bright and cheerful too.
No, that's not what you told me before we sat down.
No, I know. I'm fired up. Let
He's
me tell you.
Fired
I'm not even
up.
I'm not even angry. I'm fired up. And I'm going to start off with this.
What?
I speak the truth. I'm a truth speaker. And I'm going to explain. When my cousin, I love my cousin, right?
And when my cousin walks out of the house wearing an outfit that looks bad, I tell her, I go, Nydia, don't walk out with those jeans. They make you look like Free Willy. That's how I love her. I love her and I'm honest. And I'm the same way with my TV shows.
Okay.
I love me my all my children, but I'm going to be honest with my all my children is sucking it. And right now they are sucking it big.
I think they suck it a little less at the end of the week than they did at the beginning
of the week. I agree with you, but it's still very suck it.
It's just very suck it.
It's still very suck it to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, and I'm gonna explain why. Because I made a comment last week about Guiding Light, because everybody knows that Guiding Light is
gonna... Here we go again.
Can I please say my point?
Go ahead. Because
this is a good point. It's a good point.
It's a free country.
Look, this is why I'm when the year began and Guiding Light changed its format. I'm going to be the first one to say I was ready to just stop watching. You know, I was very, very
upset. He showed it to me and I didn't even watch the show and I was appalled. Yeah.
No, you said you found it interesting. That's what you told me.
It was creepy though.
But anyway.
I did say that, didn't I? But it was creepy.
Yes. But look, and the thing was that during the course of the year, I don't know if it was Ellen Wheeler or some of the producers or CBS, but somebody in the higher up realized that this format was not necessarily the way to go. And they tried their best to rectify the situation. In other words, they knew they needed a new head writer. So they got three other head writers to help the head writer that was writing now, because they realized that writing a show about people doing the lawn is not interesting to people. I mean, I know Ellen Wheeler thought reality was great and that...
What was that one sketch we did, the scene we did about the chicken?
About the chicken, about him eating a piece of chicken while she was looking for jobs. This is good, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, they realized this reality format wasn't what people wanted. So even though they
actually needed content.
Right. Even though they can't change the way they're shooting because that's set and done, they already made those sets and they have to live with it. They've gone back to shooting the right way. The cameras seem to be shooting from three different angles rather than these bizarre faraway shots. The writing has gotten better.
Right?
They're still outside in the studio, but the way they're shooting it seems to be more traditional, because at the first few months they were shooting like literally from the back of somebody's head and across the street, a whole scene, and you're like looking at two like cockroaches because they're like...
That's like the wrestler, so all the back of the head.
Yeah, so it's just like... So
the movie people, the wrestler.
The writing got better, the storylines became more character-driven, and even more important, they realized they want the ratings to go up, they need to listen to the fans, and they brought back the villain, Edmund, and they brought back Philip Spaulding, which is like the equivalent of bringing back Dixie. So you see, Guiding Light realizes that they need to step it up if they want to save themselves from being canceled. The cast, the crew, they don't want this show to end. So they're fighting to try to improve this show and make it better so the viewers will tune in. And that's my problem with All My Children, because right now, nobody seems to care except for us. And I think that we need to go down to 66th Street in West End. That's where the studio is, 301 or something like that. It's right at the very end of West 66. If you hit water, you know you passed it. Or if you're in New Jersey, you know you passed the studio. And yeah, we should go down there with signs that say, "Save All My Children. Fire Kraft Brothers and Pratt Hole. Fire
Bronze." What happened to this new executive producer coming in?
I don't know. All I know is that that we need to do something, because obviously nobody else cares.
No, but here's my confusion. I'm very confused.
That was cute.
What? Oh.
My confusion. Get it?
Yeah,
confusion
I get
on the
it.
Show?
Yeah,
that was clever.
Oh, God.
And you don't say you're clever. You're clever.
He's crazy. I wasn't even trying on that one. My confusion, but I'm bunch, is, okay, two things.
What?
A lot of the fans asked for Josh to go away. There was like a very vocal segment of fans that hated the unabortion storyline, which I get. We talked about it a million times. We don't need to talk about
that.
It again.
I respect that.
But they wanted Josh to go away, and then Chuck Pratt gets rid of him 3 years after the fact, which is ridiculous. But secondly, my second point of confusion is that I read today on one of the, I think it was soapoperanetwork.com, that All My Children is one of only two shows to increase total viewers from last year to this year. So
that's disgusting.
Maybe they think they're doing something right.
Well, somebody was on the blog was pointing out that One Night to Live is like lower now.
Slightly.
My thing is All My Children beating One Night to Live, or is One Night to Live losing viewers? There's a difference. See, I don't know if One Night to Live is like necessarily, if All My Children all of a sudden is getting higher ratings than One Night to Live. It could be the One Night to Live is getting lower ratings.
I don't know. I'm very confused.
I'm very confused because I cannot understand how anybody can look at All My Children right now
and think that the show is better now than it was a year ago when Barbara and James were writing. And I know that you all, you guys don't understand. I know you all don't like Barbara and James. I know that. I know that, Lord, but you cannot tell me that you can look at
the
show right now.
I like them better than Pratt.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
how can you,
I even like Megan McTavish better than Pratt.
And I'm going to defend Ezinstead and Brown.
Who's that?
Barbara Ezinstead and James Harmon Brown. One thing I will say, I really like Ezinstead and Brown, but what I don't like is what they did when they got fired. Because when they got fired, they got pissed off. And they kind of, I think they kind of derailed the show. Like, in the transition between Ezinstead and Brown and Pratt-ho, there was a lot of nonsense going on.
Yeah, but I see, we can't comment on that because we don't know how much of that was the producers trying to, like, gear up for Chuck Pratt's entrance. We don't know if they were being forced. Because I've read in the past about how writers are forced to write things that they don't want to write because the producer gets involved. And they were on the show for quite some time after it was announced that Chuck Pratt was coming on and they were being let go.
They were. That was weird.
They were being forced to write for that show until Chuck Pratt could get off his little tush to get on his computer and write something. So, I mean, all I know is that I love All My Children and I don't want anything to happen to it. But I want it to get better. And I don't think any of us are doing any service to All My Children by staying quiet and allowing the show to be bad.
But I think
we need to speak out.
But I think a lot of people are speaking out, Jordan Hudson.
A lot of people are writing in.
A lot of people, you can go to tadanddixie.com.
Sometimes I look at the blog, and even on a blog, I think everybody's looking at it with rose-colored glasses. Is that the right terminology?
Where are you getting this from? I don't get that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that right now for me,
Arizona Gal is very disappointed. I agree with her.
Arizona Gal.
Very disappointed. I agree with him.
Look, this is my thing.
With our little Alex P. Keaton.
Little Alex P. Keaton. Look,
so cute.
I'm not going to say, like, I understand why people wanted Josh off. I understood that. I wasn't happy when I first read that they were going to unabort the abortion. I'm not even saying that it was wrong to kill Josh off. I'm saying the way they went about it was wrong.
I think it was.
The way they handled it was wrong. You could have made this a powerful, dramatic storyline and chose to do a sensationalist storyline that was tacky and not even campy and just awful. And in the process, you killed a character. Because I don't care what anybody says, the character of Zach is ruined. It's ruined. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm not a big Thorstein K fan. I'm not a big Zach fan. But when his character came on, his character filled a void. There was a character that was very manly that women could relate to because he was very manly without being, you know.
That used to be Ryan.
Yeah. Well,
and then Ryan had Annie put that Nivea Gold lotion all over him. Then he became Wussy Boy Ryan.
Zach's character filled a void.
I missed that nickname, Wussy Boy Ryan. That was a good one.
That was the previous co-host. I don't remember Wussy Boy Ryan.
You don't remember Wussy Boy Ryan?
I'm all about crying. But anyway, but see, now Zach's character has become, since Chuck Pratt took over, Zach's character has become misogynistic. He's become a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not self-defense, people. It was murder. And
He gave up his sperm without telling his wife.
Do you think Zach would do that?
Never in a million
years. We talk about the fact that Binks wouldn't do it. But let's talk about the fact that Zach wouldn't do it.
We talked about that, didn't we?
Would Zach? No, I don't think. Well, we've been really... Everybody's been focusing on Bubianca.
A zillion years, no.
And my thing is like... And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the one thing about Zach when he came on was that he was the truth sayer? He said it like it was.
That's right.
He didn't lie. He didn't hold punches. He didn't care if he hurt people. The way he felt was the way he felt.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely right.
I don't buy him.
He would never have spit one out into a little cup, Dixie cup, without telling his wife.
Oh, speaking of which, I am pissed at ABC.
Uh-oh, what happened?
They are shelving Ugly Betty for Samantha Who Chelsea Handler's new show. Yeah.
No. Time out. What, canceling?
No, not canceling. Shelving it. They're putting it on hiatus to give Chelsea Handler's show, because she has a show called Motherhood, which was like a web series. Meanwhile, Binx's series is out on DVD.
Oh, I know. I heard about that.
It's eligible for an Emmy nomination.
Ooh.
Get out. Times are changing. But anyway.
Good for you, Bubianca.
They're showing Ugly Betty, and I'm very upset because this is Ugly Betty's best season. Ugly Betty has grown so much.
That is such a good show.
And I love
watch it, but it's a great show.
U.S.
I saw one episode. It was the best episode I ever seen. I cried my eyes out.
Which one?
Where the little boy was in West Side Story and his father gets killed trying to get to him to see the show.
Oh, yeah. That was the end of last season.
Cried my eyes out like a little baby.
You needed to see this season.
I know. I got to get on DVD.
Ugly Betty is like one
of my best.
I just
got Dexter on DVD. I'm going to watch that, and I'm going to watch Ugly Betty.
You are so behind,
girl. I'm very behind.
I love me some
Dexter. I'm a busy lady. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm not. Well, I'm a busy lady, too. I got so many things going. Which gets us to our question.
Yes.
W3W said, what are your hobbies outside of, like, the Pine Valley podcast, and especially me, TV, because he knows I love a lot of TV. So you go ahead first.
I love shopping at the Duane Reade. I could spend hours at the Duane Reade. I don't know what it is. It's true.
I did not know this about her.
You didn't know? I love
what
because
is your
now
fascination with Duane
well,
Reade.
Well, now, like ever since I was a little girl, when I was a little girl, I got in trouble once because I stole some eyeshadow. I was obsessed. I liked that. It was this Maybelline 4-pack eyeshadow.
You stole something?
I was a little kid.
I'm working with a thief.
I was good at it too. I used to take little
pamphlets.
Hold
on a second. I gotta make sure my wallet's in the other pocket.
I was little. I got over it. I used to take like pamphlets and pretend I was looking at the pamphlets, and then I would stick something in between the pamphlet. I'd close the pamphlet. I'd stick it in my pocket. I didn't have any money. I couldn't buy the eyeshadow, so I had to take it.
Oh my god!
I got busted. I didn't get busted by my store, by the store though. I never got like in trouble with the store. They never called me. What?
I'm not.
But now I don't steal. Now I don't steal no more.
You just like looking.
I love looking, but now I have a little money, so now I can buy things sometimes.
Duane Reade.
I love to look at like all the skincare products. They have everything in the Duane Reade. You can get magazines. You can get razor blades. You can get shaving creams, shampoos, and you can get nice shampoos now. Nice. I like it.
Duane Reade.
I like the Duane Reade.
Okay.
I would love to say that I love to read. I do like to read, but I don't get a chance to do it a lot. But I love Domino Magazine. And guess what?
Domino Pizza Magazine?
No, Domino Magazine. It's all about home furnishing, people.
I've never heard of this Domino Magazine.
It's a home fashion magazine. I have it somewhere over there in that pile.
Oh.
It's the best magazine. And you know what, people? They are closing it down. I found it today. Shutting it down. Domino done. Done.
A lot of things are done.
Everything is done.
For me, as you know, I love the arts. I love watching my TV shows. I love going to the movies. I like watching my movies. I like music. I'm a big music buff. I have like tons of vinyl. And for those of you who don't know, vinyls are records. That's for you young people that don't know vinyl. CDs, tapes. I have so much music.
He loves skinny men with big cocks. Yes.
What?
What?
What did you say?
I said you love skinny men with big
cocks. No.
Yes, you told me you like skinny men.
I like skinny men, but I don't. I never said that I like the other thing. That I never said because that's not true. I'm not into size. I learned that it's not the size of the vessel, but the motion in the ocean.
That's right.
And so we don't want to go there. But anyway, I cannot believe you went there. I like to work out. I'm a big workout. You know that. I love working out. She's crazy. I love to work out. I love doing strength training. I love doing cardio, core. I offered to train you. And you were like, oh, yeah, sure. She knows I'm going to whip her ass in shape. That's what.
I got a big ass too, people.
Ooh, Terry gave us another good question.
She gave us a great question. Terry in Toronto.
If you had to write Aiden's demise or exit from Pine Valley, how would it happen?
Myriad of ways. Blowtorch.
Lethal injection.
Lethal injection would be great. A beheading.
A beheading. I like that. Oh, wait. A lightning bolt comes down from the heavens and just chars him to a coal, piece of coal.
How funny would it be if the lightning bolt came down and he turned into a little million mini Aidens and those little mini Aidens got trampled?
Because I like that. That's like something right out of Wild E. Coyote. I like that.
There's a myriad of beautiful ways. All right, let's be serious. If we could really get rid of Aiden, how would we do it?
I was being serious.
Oh, God. How about send him on safari with Safari Jeff?
No, I was being serious. I'd kill him off. That's one character I would kill off and make sure he's dead. I would make sure that they get a DNA sample to make sure that was his body that was burned in that fire or however I killed him off.
You know what I would do?
I would confirm that he's dead, that there's no way that he's going to come back in 20 years.
You know what I would do?
I would have Insanity believe that he's Ryan and kill him. Don't you think?
I would have Insanity think that everybody that I don't like on All My Children's Ryan and kill them
all.
Kill Kobe, kill Randy.
That's right.
Well, let's start recapping.
Fine.
Because as far as I was concerned...
What's your favorite storyline of the week?
Don't look at my notes. I don't have a favorite story. I have a favorite thing that happened this week.
Be positive. Think of
I am being
thing
positive. The only good thing that happened at All My Children this week was the fact that Anna Stewart was back as Mary Smythe, and I cried. And look, this shows how a great actress she is. All you gave her was like four lines. And you know what? She still stole the show and the episode and everything about
it.
Understand how the producers cannot see that scene with her and Susan Lucci when she told Greenlee, well, I was thinking of staying in Pine Valley and I was going to call Adam and see. And Erica walks right by her without stopping and says, don't worry, he's moved on.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I mean, it was brilliant. And if you cannot see that this is what Erica Kane needs, she needs a woman that is her equal to battle. That's what All My Children is about. Those are the kind of scenes that we need.
I'd rather have Brooke do that, though. Brooke and Erica?
Yes.
Brooke is the reason why Erica won an Emmy.
Okay, Anna Stewart, though, comes cheaper than Brooke at this point.
No, I don't care.
And my point is that if they're not going to bring back Brooke, I want them to keep Mary on.
All right, I want you to pretend for 1 second that you love All My Children, the storylines right now.
There was stuff I liked. I liked anything Michael Knight does.
Pick a storyline.
Taylor and Brock.
Okay, you looked at my notes.
No, you asked me what storyline I'm liking. The only storyline I'm liking is two people that don't have no connection to the show. That's the only people I like.
All right, fine. We are back to Brock, and that's the other thing. This is what pissed me off.
Wait, what do you got? Like,
I'm gonna lead to it. This is what pissed me off. Why do we have to see? Why does the beginning of every show have to be the entire end of the previous show? I could fast forward to the first 10 minutes.
Saving money. Doesn't that piss you off? It's saving money.
I had to see Brat again, Sweet Talk Emma. I saw it last Friday. I don't need to see it again. I thought it was very sweet. I like Shadow and a few others. I had some issues with it, but for the most part, I thought it was a very nice
scene. What issues did you guys have with it?
Because truthfully, Emma should have been crying at the sight of Brat. But I do feel that she was fascinated by his face.
Like, yeah, see, I agree with you, but you gotta understand, not every kid reacts that way. Some kids just, the thing about kids that's so beautiful is that they don't know no better. You know what I mean? It isn't until they get older and we as parents instill in them our own prejudices and stuff that they become jaded. When they're that young, they're very innocent.
Well, Shadow has, I think, three kids. You have three kids?
He's from like another country.
Well, his point was...
He looked like he was from France.
His point... That's terrible. All our French listeners, we mean no harm.
I meant French from France, not Canadian French. I love me the Canadians. They know that. I'm ready to move over there.
Yes,
I
want to
marry one
Terry.
Of the Ashmore brothers.
Listen, my problem, and I sort of agree with Shadow. He pointed out just like it actually could have been even nicer if it was a longer scene and there was more of an interaction between. I know.
What have I been saying?
Everything is rushed through.
These scenes are faster than warp speed on Star Trek Voyager.
Bubianca call Zach. You just saw a phone ring. So annoying. I was so annoyed. All right, fine. So then, of course, Frankie comes in all patronizing. Frankie's a doctor making like 8 times the salary of an orderly, maybe even more. And he comes in all patronizing about how great Brat was. And he offers him an orderly job on the spot. Now, of course, Brock goes to interview and he gets the job, and Taylor is so happy that, as N69 pointed out, that Brock gets to collect shit and piss for a living.
Okay, wait a minute. I was an orderly in my teen years. I don't appreciate everybody dissing. Everybody was dissing the orderlies on the blog.
Yeah, nobody was dissing the orderlies. They were pointing out that the duties of an orderly are not exactly what Frankie made them out to be. That's what they were doing.
That's like dissing the people that work in the back of the restaurant.
That's not true.
No, I don't like that.
Honey, they're just pointing out that...
There's nothing wrong with being an orderly.
There's nothing wrong with it, but what they're pointing out is that Frankie made it sound like the man's practically a doctor when he's really being just an orderly. No offense.
Well, because Frankie said it was a position. Frankie said a different... He didn't say...
I thought he said orderly.
Didn't he say like a special consultant or something? Like we need people with... I don't know. Maybe he was saying that like... I don't know.
Fine.
I'm confused.
Either way, what was really silly to me was the fact that Taylor is so excited and she dresses up and go to Confusion for this special occasion wearing a dress that looks like it costs more than Brat's weekly salary. Am I right?
And she got there like 3 hours before Brad. Why was she there so early? Did she spend like 3 hours with Jake?
So that she could have a drink with Jake, because that's what's convenient for the writers. Was Jake drunk again? He was like babbling like a fool.
That's another thing. Have you noticed that there's become a lot of alcoholics on Pine Valley
lately?
There's
a lot of drinkers.
Everybody's like really drinking too now. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to say it again. I don't want Jake with
nobody does. It ain't gonna happen.
I want Taylor with Brock.
Didn't Jake hint?
Supposedly Ricky Paul Golden told Nelson Branco, is that his name?
Branco.
That Taylor's gonna get involved with somebody else. So somebody else is gonna be after her. I don't know.
Good. If they had put Jake with Greenlee at the beginning of the show,
maybe Rebecca would have stayed.
Rebecca would have stayed, I'm telling you. I don't think maybe. I think for definitely sure. What?
Nothing. I'm agreeing with you.
And then what they should have done was, what should have happened, in my opinion, was the person that Jake was all sad over should have been Greenlee. Not this Caroline person.
I think Ricky Paul Golden was playing that.
And it should have been Greenlee.
When he first arrived, he was definitely playing the fact that he still had feelings for this woman.
So annoying.
They did not bite on it. They did not go with it. They went somewhere else. And then what was that? There was that whole hoopla that they were bringing that back, that wife of his. And what was that big secret about the wife? That was the big secret. Zach made it seem like there was some big secret.
They don't know what they're doing. They can't agree on anything. Nobody gives a shit about anything. It's driving me freaking crazy.
All right, let's speed this up because I want to talk about One Night to Live.
I didn't finish watching the whole week yet.
I don't care. We're talking about it. All right, slamming.
Fine. So then Jake and Taylor proceed to have this "I'm so glad we're friends" discussion. And Jake does all kind of weird, funny, drunk voices. And then,
did you hear his Irish accent? It didn't sound very Irish.
I love me some Ricky Paul Golden, but this whole thing is just not working for me. So it's hard. Brat comes and Jake congratulates him by grabbing his head. Did you see that?
I didn't notice that.
Him by the earlobe and like
because he's a drunkard.
I mean, wasn't that weird? And Brock don't have no ear. Like, it's like burned off. So it was just weird.
Well, Jake was a drunkard. So
it seemed weird. Like, it even seemed weird to me. Like, it even seemed weird, I think, to the actor, to J.R. Martinez.
You know what I don't like? I don't like the fact that like the way it is like this woman was like some kind of prize or something. Congratulations, because you won. I mean, I don't know. This misogynistic tone on this show is so annoying to me.
Well, anyway, I still love me some Taylor. Taylor and Brat embrace. So they're getting back on track while Jake longingly looks on. And then we have Brat starting at the hospital. And David's already warning him that he won't get special treatment.
Well, no, there was a moment of bromance first.
Yeah, there was, right?
Like, David, for some reason,
I liked it, though. I liked it. A human, normal side to David.
Yes, that's why that was important. For those of you who don't know, this is what's important. I'm going to tell you this right now. I think Vincent Irizarry is a good actor. I have loved the character
with some
David.
Fat abs.
I am man boobs.
He's porky. He's got some
I think he's a great actor. I think the character's been great in the past. My problem with the character right now on the show is that it's one-dimensional. It's one-dimensional. And you're not humanizing
I'm
him.
I'm evil.
And so this
I'll
bond,
get you, my pretty.
This bromance that he has going with Brock is definitely needed because he needs to be more human. And I like that side. I like the fact that he had respect for Brock because Brock fought in this country.
Yes.
And that I don't think that he was warning him in an evil way by saying.
I agree with that. I was going to say, like, at first it was like, oh, typical David. But I actually liked it because Brock responded to it very well. Yeah. He said, I expect nothing less of me.
And I think that's why he said it, because he wanted him to know, even though you serve in the country, and even though you're injured, I'm going to treat you like I'm treating everybody else. I'm going to treat you like an equal. I thought those scenes were beautiful. I like the little bromance between those two.
I like it too. And then, like, later on in the week, Brat talks about when he was in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And David seemed really interested to
hear
that.
Yeah, it was very nice that David has a friend.
See, is it that difficult, people, writers of All My Children?
To give us a little something.
Charlie Prattle. It's really not that difficult. Real simple human moments. That's what people want to see. I don't give a crap about truth serums and fire alarms and mental institutions and tire irons. That's all bullshit. That's a big load of bullshit.
All right. I need to go to the restroom. So by the time I get back, I want you to be done with this because I have nothing to comment on this except to say that the only person that I like in all of this is Annie.
Dr. Sheridan Crane needs to go back to Pasadena. And you know what gets me mad? Is that maybe this storyline would have been a lot more interesting if they would have cast a real actress in the role of that doctor.
I don't think
because
so.
Because the Tad scenes in her, Tad made her look, well, no, Tad didn't make her look good. Tad made the material rise above its crappiness. But it was a little bit more interesting when Tad was, like, grilling her. But she's so bad. She's so bad. Send her back to, like, Harmony. That's the town in Passion. Send her back to Harmony.
People, the one reason I'm going to recap this storyline...
is so I could go to the bathroom.
No.
Go ahead.
It's two reasons. What? One, so Jordan could go to the bathroom. Two, because we watch
so you don't have to.
And that's a pledge I will uphold till the very end, till my very last breath on this podcast.
And I
so
watch.
So help me God.
And I watch, but I really can't comment. I am so sick of Ryan and Greenlee.
All right, I'm taking the mic now. I'm taking the mic, people. It's all mine. You're here with Ashley Mendoza, head co-creator and co-host of the Pine Valley Podcast. And I'm going to recap for you Greenlee, Ryan, Annie, and Adam. All right, so at the beginning of the week, we have Ryan at Oak Haven tearing Doc Sinclair, whatever her name is, the most expert forensic psychiatrist in her field, a new a-hole. And I'm glad, okay, because she's busy while he's there looking for her, screaming at Aunt Sandy about Richie. All right, so when Sinclair sees Ryan, she insists that she will prove that Annie isn't mental. And the whole big question is why. And it's so heavy-handed, people. Anybody with a second-grade education knows that Doc Sinclair is up to something. Doc Sinadin. Doc, whatever the hell you want to call her. She's awful. You can call her whatever you want. And I'm telling you, I know who you're talking about because she is just a Nimrod. Anyway, Ryan goes home to Greenlee, who, if you remember last week, people, Greenlee was the one who practically ordered Emma to take cookies out of a hot stove, therefore resulting in second-degree burns to the child's hand, all right? Somehow, the fact that his fiancé has burned the shit out of his child's hand is just adorable to Ryan.
You're not done with this yet? I told you in the time that I had to go take a whiz, you were supposed to finish this already. I don't want to talk
about it. I love that original chapstick that you use. It brings me back to my childhood.
Original chapstick. Classic. Not those flavored ones.
The original chapstick. It smells so good.
Honey, you got to keep your lips like, you know, you never know.
You think?
You never know. Anyway, I agree with you on that. I'm sorry. You know what was even more ludicrous?
The sliding vent in the insane asylum at Oak Haven?
No, when Amanda was, like, giving up her baby to Greenlee and Ryan.
Ugh, I'm not even there yet, so you gotta hold on.
Greenlee would make a great mother? She just burned Emma's hands.
I don't know about it. Anyway.
And Ryan didn't even seem to be upset. Did they even have a scene where Ryan got upset about it? No, right?
No, he thought it was adorable.
Ryan, you're an idiot. You thought it was adorable that your daughter's hands got burned because
he thought Greenlee was the greatest mom ever.
Annie.
Speechless.
Annie, come and rescue your daughter from these two idiots.
All right. Now we're starting to get into evil doctor territory with this Dr. Sherrod Claire, whatever her name is.
Dr. Sheridan Crane.
Sinclair. We're mixing up the names because it's much more interesting.
Look, you need to speed this up.
She's going to hypodermic Adam.
I'm going out tonight. I'm going to get licking up. Hurry up.
She hypodermics Adam, and then he disappears for a couple days. Thank God. And Sandy tries to talk to him, but he's gone.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Isn't it interesting that nobody in town has realized that Adam's been missing for all these weeks?
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And then it's confusing, people, because Dr. Sheridan Crane Sullivan Sinclair, she somehow knows that Annie's talking to somebody, but she doesn't make the connection that Annie is talking to Stone, quote unquote. And so she yells at Insanity, and she doesn't seem to know that there's a vent in the room connecting the two rooms. And when the hell did that goddag vent get a sliding door to it? A few weeks ago, it was just a vent. Now it has a sliding door. What the hell is going on? Am I that freaky stupid? Do I have retards stamped across my forehead?
Let me move your bangs.
All right. At some point, because people, my eyes start to glaze a little bit with this storyline. At some point, Dr. Sheridan Crane Sullivan Sinclair.
Fitzpatrick.
Patrick
Lopez Fitzgerald. That was her married name.
Patrick.
She married Louis Lopez Fitzpatrick.
Patrick Fitzgerald and Gerald Fitzpatrick.
So her name was Sheridan Crane Lopez Fitzgerald.
Something like that.
God, I hated that passion.
She goes to see Greenie and Ryan and says that she's convinced that Annie's faking it, and if she can, and that she has these proven advanced methods that only she uses that gets the patient to admit that they're faking it, and that she, this will ensure that Annie gets locked up for life. And Greenie says, well, what are your methods? And meanwhile, Greenie's looking like a Spanish maid, waitress, like a Spanish maid. Mm-hmm. She was all like with that hair back and that bun and that severe black dress. Didn't she look like that? Like a Spanish maid or something? Anyway. Dr. Sheridan Crane Sullivan Sinclair says, my methods are not important.
You put too much emotion.
That's true.
She's as flat as Randy and Kobe.
I kind of liked that Tad was listening to Dr. Sulla Crane, and he knew that she was up to... He goes, she's definitely up to something.
That's Tad. You can't put one
you
over on
him. You can't put another past him.
Well, remember, he used to be a con artist, so he knows. He knows.
All right, so then Brian and Tad do this fake thing where they cruise the web to see if Dr. Sulla Crane is all she's cracked up to be. Get it? Cracked.
And Ryan was absolutely horrible in those scenes.
Everything was horrible about it.
When he was reading from the computer, he was reading it like it was just words coming out of his mouth. He was so horrible in that scene. I'm sorry. I hate that. I hate when actors do that.
Ugh, we got to find something positive here. I'm getting tired of myself.
Tad was brilliant, though.
Tad's always brilliant.
Michael Knight. Let me tell you something. Michael Knight, that's the kind of actor I like. He could turn manure into gold. This is the thing. No matter how bad everything is, he still gives it 110%.
Well, Tad and Ryan figure out that this woman has a little gap in her resume, but that she does have a very good resume. And so in the meantime, Dr. Sinadin is working up tears over this word association game. So you know she got a very close connection to this case.
Richie?
Yes.
I mean, I that's not a spoiler. I haven't read it anyway, but it's so obvious.
It's so obvious.
Especially when...
It's so obvious that Gucci knows what's going on. Gucci figured it out.
Gucci does a Scooby-Doo. He's like...
She does that thing where she tilts her head. Anyway, so then...
You're not finished with this storyline yet? Gucci! See, even Gucci's upset by this storyline.
All right, fine. You're right. I'm wrong. This is a crap storyline. Why am I spending any time on it?
Just rush through it.
I'm very confused by confusion.
Why?
Tad puts on this act where he goes to meet Dr. Sullivan.
He's a reporter. Tad was very convincing.
He was so convincing, but he neglected to think about the fact that he should not go to the only bar in town where everybody freaky knows him, and of course he's going to get busted.
But the writers
Stupid.
But the writers did that on purpose.
Why?
So Jesse could bust him and ruin the cover. That's... Don't you understand? The writers are very obvious.
But that's my point. Is it so obvious that even my dog Gucci gets it? And even Gucci goes, stupid. That's how she barks.
And that's when we realize that she has to have been in love with Richie, because she basically said it by telling Tad that she gets attached to her patients and there's a love between them. And Tad looks at her like she's an idiot. Michael Knight, you amuse me. I love you.
Why?
He cracked me up in those scenes.
Why is someone on our blog pointed
because
out?
In his head, Michael Knight was probably going, God damn, I can't believe I'm working opposite another bad actress.
No, he's not like that. I don't believe he's like that. The only person I thought he really truly hated was the guy that played the guy from I Wanna Be a Soap Star. He played what's his face? Dell. I feel like Michael Knight, the actor, hated him and the fact that he won his role on My Children. And I think Michael E. Knight probably thought that was really disrespectful to all the other actors who work hard and study hard to get a place on the show. And he treated him like he was such a numbskull. I loved it. He put every ounce of venom and vigor into playing opposite that guy. I loved it. Long story short, I'm confused by confusion. As our bloggers pointed out, it's supposed to be lunchtime and house music is blaring and kids are in, you know, these little tight, small outfits drinking at lunchtime. I don't get it. I'm confused. It's supposed to be lunchtime. What the f... It's the small little details. You don't even know. Poor Jordan is zoning out and drawing pictures of Kenzo with naked tetas.
She's not naked. She's wearing a blouse.
Then how come that looks like a nipple?
No, that's like the outline of her
breast. Oh, that's the armpit.
No, that's the outline of her breast, silly.
I better hurry up. He's getting real. He's getting real bored. What the f*** was Tad wearing? I'm going to bleep it.
This is a PG show. What is up with bleeped. You?
It deserves a little expletive.
You keep saying f*** all the time.
A blue velvet jacket deserves the word f***. That's just nonsense.
Who was wearing a blue velvet jacket?
Dad!
Oh, I forgot. You're like Blackwell. I don't pay that much attention to the clothes.
You didn't see what he was wearing?
No, but I love what Erica wore to the bridal shower.
I love
how hot
it.
Was that
oh
dress?
Oh, my God. I love it.
Oh, my God, Miss Lucci.
She was wearing a green dress with this thing in the
front.
Oh,
she looked like a goddess.
She did.
She looked like a goddess. I was perfect. Like, I perked up. I was like, woo.
And Bubianca looked like she was going to a funeral.
Bubianca.
She was too boobalicious for that dress. It was like all squeezed out. Squeezed in.
Did you see her wedding dress?
Ugh.
I liked her wedding dress. I thought she looked like a Greek goddess too. I thought she looked very Athena. What was going on with the other one's dresses?
Why
beyond me?
Do they? We'll talk about that. I can't talk about that right now. I got so much to say about that. Jesse busts them, but he doesn't really bust them, but he really does because Dr. Sinclair figured it out the whole time. So she busts Tad, and then Ryan.
Well, we learned that later. She tells Tad that later. She doesn't.
Ryan doesn't even have the freaking brains to call Tad the second that.
The jig is up.
The jig is up because he knows because he went to see Dr. Sinclair.
Yeah, Ryan is an idiot.
Oh, he's so stupid. And then Greenlee has a nightmare that Annie killed Ryan. And I was like, that's not a nightmare. That's a dream. That's a dream come true. I thought it was weird when Dr. Sinclair was stroking Annie's hair and getting her to try to break. Didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, why do you ask me questions about this
story? All right, fine. I'm almost done. I swear, people. All right, listen. Dr. Sinclair is really fierce with Tad, but I still hate her. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you know what? Tad, and see, that's what I'm saying. Like, if a real actress was playing that role, that scene would have been hot.
I didn't think it was terrible. He makes her a better actor.
Yeah, he does. She put
and
Tad
so
in her place.
And so does Annie. Mrs. Claire Egan makes her a better actor, too.
Because
the same with
place,
the tire
though.
Iron. Yeah, she did.
That's what I'm saying. The writing was actually good for that scene. Imagine if it was in the hands of a real actress, how powerful that would have been.
Yeah, but if she says one more time about how her methods and how she's the best in her field, all that, I'm going to throw up.
Well, they're always the best in their field. David's the best in his field. Everybody's the best in their field.
At least try to pretend like...
Angie's the best Black Nancy Drew that ever was.
Like, the thing I like... All right, I'm not going to talk about One Life to Live, people. But the thing that I like about it is they're making David... listen, they're making David Vicarossi this Buddhist, right? Mm-hmm. But I swear to God, they got someone in there. They called a Buddhist and asked him to help or her to help write the script. Because the things that David Vicarossi says are legitimate, like, Buddhist teachings and ideas and stuff like that.
All right, let me explain something, honey.
It's more realistic.
Honey, that's because the writers there do their job. They write. A writer writes what they know, and if they don't know, they do research, and they write about the subject they're going to write
about.
Here
they just think we're all dipshits.
Woo!
I like when she brought out the tire iron. That tire iron is a very popular character on the show.
I wish that Annie would have grabbed that tire iron and beat it upside
with
her
head. I think
that
tire iron could out-act the weave. What do you think?
I like it.
I think it'd be a close call.
Two weaves and a tire
Angie's
iron.
Weave. Yeah, two Angie's weave.
Livia's weave.
Livia's weave and the tire iron.
There you go.
And the act off, I'll give it to the tire iron.
But you know what? All three of those things.
What?
I'll act Kobe and Randy any
oh
day
my
of the
God.
Week.
Absolutely. I would tune in to see those three things.
Yeah.
I would tune in for you, tire iron. I really would. I did like the conversation between Dr. Sheridan Crane and Sullivan Sinclair and Annie because she's so good.
Yeah, Annie's great.
Basically, Dr. Sinclair tries to get her to confess, and she shows her the pictures of her dead brother. Annie almost confesses, but guess who saves her? Adam, dum.
Did you ever notice he's like those women that get too much collagen in their face? His face doesn't show any expression. It's the same stone-looking...
Too bad it's not collagen. Too bad he ain't got nothing in his face but dumb.
Okay, this storyline is boring me.
Fine! I'm almost done. Dr. Sinadan confronts Adam with a truth serum. And this is where I did throw a chancleta at the television. And then Adam's like, be strong, Adam. Be strong. Don't listen to her. Don't answer. Don't tell the truth.
like as his inner voice is like answer, his inner voice is going as he's answering questions. The only thing I will say about this is that she does get him to decide to tell her exactly who he is. And she says, "Oh, so then you're here to help Annie break out, aren't you?" And he says, "No, I can't stand that bitch. I want to see her locked up forever." What?
I'm not saying I really want you to finish this. This is my torture.
I thought that was interesting. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was a little interesting because now I'm confused.
I'm not confused. I think it's horrible. I think I'm over this. I'm over this.
Fine. What am I going to?
Belinda, thank you so much. I think it was Belinda. She's one of our new bloggers. She put a link to the Via Alegre MySpace page. I've been playing the theme song like every day and dancing around my room to it. Like I thought I was like the only person that knew about the show. I was so sad. And you knew Caras Colendas too. Does anybody know Caras Colendas? Remember Caras Colendas, right?
I don't know that.
I thought you said you knew that one.
That's Que Pasa USA.
No, Caras Colendas was the one with the two girls that looked like yes. dolls. They yes. had a little makeup circle. Yes. And the song used to go, Caras Colendas. Carasco, have you ever been to Carasco Lendas? Come along, come along, come along to Carasco Lendas. I used to love that. Was right like before Via Alegre. Via Alegre used to be in the afternoon on Channel 13, and Carasco Lendas was in the morning. Via Alegre!
That was good stuff. We should have a Via Alegre podcast. here's the hard part for me is talking about David and Crystal. That's hard for me. These two people are revolting.
I'm gonna go get drunk. I'm sorry. You're on your own. I can't. This show.
Listen,
you know what?
We have an obligation to our viewers. They tune in every week to listen to us. They don't tune in to listen to us bitch and moan the entire time. We gotta say something decent.
If you have a Kate, this is from Bertie.
B.R. Teddy is Lori. Teddy.
And B.R. Teddy, I love you because you
Can
like guiding light
out?
Too.
Can I point something yes. out before you ask her a question? B.R. Teddy pointed out to me that she ain't got no problem with the ladies being carried up to the bed because she's a person who uses a wheelchair. So she's like, I'm all for it.
Oh, I didn't know that about her. Yeah, well, yeah. That makes sense.
She was very helpful to us. Lori was very helpful to us when we were going through the whole storyline with Taylor, when Taylor lost the use mm-hmm, of her legs. Because mm-hmm. Taylor was like wearing dumbass socks on a floor. And B.R. Teddy was like, that is dumbass. Like, and as a person who uses a wheelchair knows, you don't put your feet down without socks that don't have a little grip to them. Mm. So I thought that was really ass too.
Well, B.R. Teddy's question is, if you were vacationing in
Pine Valley. But I'm going to tell you the truth, B.R. Teddy. If you got legs at work, I want to see you running up to that bedroom and ripping off your man's clothes. You know what I'm saying? None of this wussy boy Ryan stuff. I'm sick of it. Sick of it.
If you were vacationing in Pine Valley, where would you go and what characters would you most like to meet? Well, I would stay at Myrtle's boarding house, but it's done with. So, the Valley Inn. I like the Valley Inn. The original Valley Inn. And I would like to meet Opal, Palmer, and Adam.
I would go to the Yacht Club, believe it or not.
Ugh, I hate the Yacht Club set. Oh, I hate that set.
I like that set. No. Except for that one time that Hannah was in the room and they have all white bedding and she cried her makeup onto the pillow. That was embarrassing.
Who would you want to meet at the Yacht Club?
I would want to meet Kobe so I could slap the shit out of that five head of hers. I would just meet her and I'd be like, make it like this. It feels so good.
You go like this. Go grab her hand and go, I want you to do Homer Simpson for me. Do. You know what?
What the hell was she wearing at the
I'll
shower?
I'll tell you why I wouldn't want to go.
Where?
Pine Valley Hospital. I'll never make it out alive.
Hell no. Hell no. Stay far away from that place. All right. Do we talk about David and Crystal?
Only if you can make it quick.
All right. David knows that Amanda is pregnant. How does he know?
Because he's David.
Why is he so psycho about it?
He figured it out.
Why does he care?
Because he thinks it might be his. He's
so
not
what?
Stupid.
So what?
This is David.
Why would he want a baby right now with Amanda? Why? Wouldn't he want her to get rid of it?
No. It's that stereotypical soap thing of the men always wanting an heir. No,
that's
he wouldn't.
Bull.
No.
In real life, that's what I'm saying. Be much more interesting to me if he actually didn't want it.
No, but did you... This is I'm gonna have to disagree with you. You know why? Because you got to look at David's history. He's always wanted a child. Remember how beat up he was when Leora was it Leora? I mean, this is a man who's always wanted a child, and he just lost the one child that he had. It would make perfect sense that he would want a child.
Very
right
fine.
Now.
I'm so sick of kids on this show. Why do we have to have more kids? Why?
As somebody once pointed out to me, obviously these writers took the name of this soap opera too seriously. And he's right. They did. It's called All My Children. Doesn't necessarily mean you need children running around everywhere.
He was at Confusion and sees her with Jake. And he orders champagne for her to see if she'll drink it. And she don't. Hey, what happened between Jake and David? They had some argument or something?
Yeah.
How does Jake lose a verbal argument with Dr. David? It's so stupid. And then on Tuesday, we had JR talking to Babe's grave.
Yeah, that was dumb.
All right, fine. The next day, Mandy, she gags all over Fusion, so Greeny gives her the day off and she goes to the hospital, and David continues to bug her. He finds out from Brad that Amanda's taking prenatals. Why the hell would Brad tell him something like that?
Brad said that he didn't know what it was. David said, did you get a look at it? And he goes, no, I didn't get a look at it. But he didn't say like, oh, it's prenatal vitamins. He just was like,
David did. He said it was vitamins.
But he didn't say prenatal.
I thought he said, he didn't say prenatal. Yeah, he said vitamins, you're right.
Yeah, he did, because he said, I didn't really look at it.
All right, fine. But then, I was confused if he always thought he was the father or if he thought JR is the dad.
Does it make a difference?
Yeah, it makes a difference. Why would he be psycho over
it? It's still a bad storyline, though, so how does it make a difference?
Oh, yeah, you're right. And in the meantime, this is when we see Amanda ask Greenlee and Ryan to be the baby's parents.
Okay, in what universe would you think that giving your baby to Ryan and Greenlee would be a happy home and a better home?
Listen.
Ryan and Greenlee?
Listen.
A man who got shot in the head and lost his memory for the longest time and who treated his last wife like a piece of crap.
I don't even mind that as much as I would want an honest response from Greenlee and Ryan. They don't want her baby. Why the hell are they even thinking about it?
Well, they're not really. I mean, they both were like kind of like, JR's the father. That means Adam is no way going to let that child. But they were being realistic about it. But my whole thing is like, and first of all, she only found out she was pregnant like 2 days ago. Could you imagine? It's like, this is what I'm talking about. There's no meat to this show anymore.
I'm sorry, but if it was me.
It's all plot. It's just weird.
Actually, if it was me, I don't know what I would do. But I'm saying it's Greenlee and Ryan. They're about to get married. They already have one daughter. They have enough on their plate. Their instant reaction should have been like, this is a little nuts. Like, I don't really want to do this. But instead, they were like, yeah, you think we could do it? We should do it? What do you think? It was so dumb. Have an honest response. I actually didn't mind that she asked them as much as
I did.
I didn't mind that as much as I minded how they responded. Stupid.
I did. I'd go to Jesse and Angie before I give my kid a Ryan and Greenlee.
They wouldn't do that on All My Children because they racist. It's true. They wouldn't put no white baby with no black folk. That's what I'm saying. All right. So then I did think this was a good opportunity for Miss Mandy to when she talked to JR about it, to have a little emotion. She had a little emotion as she was saying that she wanted, you know, to give the baby what she and JR never had, two stable parents who love each other.
And again, that proves my point. Why would you go to Ryan and Greenlee? Those are not two stable people.
That's true. Why does Amanda go to Confusion that next day?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought that up because I thought that was confusing, too.
I was like, why? What?
You can't drink.
And she's supposed to be so sick. I'm going to tell you something right now.
She wasn't at a table eating dinner. She was at the bar.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I know women who puke when they get pregnant, right? But they don't go out to bars and crap.
That was so stupid.
They can't eat. They can't drink. They feel like crap for that whole first time, that whole first few months. They feel like crap. And you know, why can't we have, this is what bothers me so much. Why can't we have Amanda looking like crap? She looks way too beautiful for somebody who's going through morning sickness. Why is she walking around in 4-inch heels? You know, she sits down in the yacht club with JR and he makes her put up her feet. I was dying to see him unzip her boots and take off her boot and rub her feet. It's so simple, people. It's so very simple to make Ashley Mendoza happy. It's the small little things in life that I love, and I don't get them, and that's all that makes me crazy. Did you hear last week at the end of the last show that the clip I put on between Daisy
and
Palmer?
Yes, I forgot. Thank you for telling me, because I wanted to bring this up at the beginning of the podcast.
And Nina.
That was such a great... Fantastic. Where you found that, I don't know. But see, that's good writing, people.
Fantastic. That was excellent.
First of all, they used big words. That was it. It wasn't like those simple little words. It was like an intelligent, well-written scene with three characters that actually had a command of the English language. And it was really deft because
it was
the
simple.
Minute Nina walked out, Daisy
But that's
rammed
what I'm going to say. It was simple. What I posted was a scene between Daisy and her husband Palmer and their daughter Nina. Their daughter Nina was remarrying Cliff at that point, right? Now, Cliff, of course, there's never going to be, just like with Adam, just like any with these rich guys, just like with Erica, there's never going to be a spouse good enough for their daughter or their son. So Palmer was pissed and Nina, and she was angry and defensive. So Daisy defuses the whole situation by escorting Nina out and just telling her, you know your father. He's just, you know how he is. He worries about you, sweetheart. You know, that's all it is. So she kind of like helps Nina and she calms Nina down. And Nina's like, I love you, Mom. And she's like, I love you too, darling. And she closes the door and she goes, what are you thinking, Palmer Courtland? And she goes off on him for making their daughter feel like crap about Cliff.
It made me.
And it was so simple. And Palmer was very like, what do you mean? I mean, the guy's a criminal. What are you, you know?
It brought back
it
so many memories.
It was fantastic and simple and lovely and real and truthful. I loved it.
Speaking of that, I forgot. We were talking about Oscars last week. And we forgot to give a big shout out to an ex All My Children who's nominated for Best Actress in a movie. Melissa Leo is nominated for Best Actress in Film, and she is an ex All My Childrener.
What are you talking about? What movie?
Oh, I don't know the name of the movie. I forgot the name of the movie, but she's nominated for Best Actress. You know who Melissa Leo is, right?
No.
How you could say you love All My Children is beyond me.
Who did she play?
She played Miss Linda Warner, Cliff's sister, who everybody thought was so ugly, but she could act, and she was the one who brought what's his name to Pine Valley. Her boyfriend was the one that Marion killed, Zach Grayson.
Here it says, after supporting roles in a handful of small films and a short stint on the soap opera All My Children.
She just did a movie. She's gotten a lot of Melissa Leo. For those of you who know, she could really act. I mean, she wasn't the most prettiest girl on All My Children, but I loved her because she could really act.
Frozen River, you're right.
Yes.
What the hell is Frozen River?
It's supposed to be a really good movie. I remember reading the reviews when it came out and I wanted to see it. And she's gotten an Oscar nomination for it.
That's kind of exciting.
It's very exciting. She might not be famous like Angelina Jolie, but she is a respected actress. And she's had a lot of movies. And she played Cliff's sister Linda.
I'm not hating on anybody, but I don't think Angelina Jolie is that brilliant of an actress.
I think
she's compelling to watch because she's got an amazing face.
I think,
but is she that good an actress?
I think. What can I say? Something.
Say it.
I think that early on in her career, she was that good of an actress. I think that that's not where her true calling lies. I think she's kind of she does it. She goes through the motions.
She does it to pay for all her humanitarian work.
Yeah,
I respect her very much. I think anybody who makes fun of her or who discounts what she does, I think they're wrong. I think she's an amazing person.
I don't think that she's not.
Amazing person.
I don't think that she's not.
And her husband, too, is an amazing man.
I don't think she's not without the talent to be the kind of actress like a Melissa Leo or Kate Winslet. I think that's not where her heart really lies. I think for her, this is just
I agree with that.
An end.
She said that, too. She said she could leave acting. She could not leave her charity work, but she could leave acting.
Yeah, so I think that, and I think that's what happens with actors. It's like when their heart's not in it, it shows. But I think when in her younger years, she was brilliant.
Well, we were talking about Ms. Amanda being a confusion and seeing David and Tad seeing Crystal. Now, did Tad sign divorce papers at Confusion? Is that what they were doing?
I think so.
Ay, ay, ay. Tad is working this. And Crystal, I have seen more emotion in a pet rock. I'm sorry, Miss Bobby Eakes. You had your biggest fan at Ashley Mendoza, but you were phoning this crap in because, yes, I agree with you, baby. It's crap. But you know what? You got a job. You sign on the dotted line, and you owe it to your fans and to yourself, young lady. Young lady, you owe it to yourself to give the best performance you could possibly give. You should not be wavering on that. That is what you do. You are an actress. And no matter what, you got to act this crap to the best of your ability. Right now, you're not doing that. You're not giving us your all. It's terrible. I'm very disappointed in her. Very disappointed.
You want to be like Melissa Leo win an Oscar? You got to start doing your homework, baby. And that means you can't be fooling around on set. You got to be taking this crap seriously. You can't be joking. You can't be everybody's best friend. Take your work seriously. It sucks. I know it, baby. The fans feel for you. We fighting for you. We really are. We know your pain because we have to watch it every day. But do us a solid, like Melissa Claire Egan, like Mikey Knight. Do us a solid and do your work. And then we could look past it. But when you don't do your work, we can't look past it. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay, so then on Thursday, I love when David stands in front of that golden mirror, that big golden mirror, Wild Win, and he started saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the meanest of them all? And the mirror said back, you, David. What? What are you looking at me for?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember the mirror talking back to him?
Oh, my God, you did it to me again. Stop that. At first, I thought I might have fell asleep.
Crystal baby, Bobby Eakes.
I believe you.
You might not act good, but you still look good.
Yeah.
In the brown dress and the hair. They look beautiful. Look beautiful. Some shit happens, and then we see Crystal at Tad's. What is the deal with those perfectly perched pictures on the couch? Was those Crystal's pictures?
I don't know.
Aye, aye, aye. Anyway, I love me some Mikey. Now, he tells her to just get out. At first, he's like, you got to come back and pack. And then she's such an idiot that he's like, just get out. And I just love him.
But you're forgetting a lot of things. Kathy saw her.
I'm trying to forget a lot of things.
Kathy saw her, and that was insane.
No. I'm not talking about Friday. I'm talking about Thursday. Thursday's episode.
Oh, okay.
Where Tad gets her to finally realize that David switched the medication. And this leads into this big thing with her and David. She goes to see David at Wild Wind.
Oh, my God. That scene was so bad.
And she says, you switched the pills. And then she has the fake breakdown. And she goes,
I hate
like,
you, I hate you. And then she's kissing him. That but was listen. So oh, God.
Baby.
Ashley, scene was horrible. But no,
it's
horrible.
Very simple.
Don't tell me that scene was good because I'll hit you.
But this is how you do it. You do it with me.
What?
You do it with me.
What?
This is how you do it, Bobby Eakes. You switch the pills. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you, David. No, I'm laughing. But that's how you do it. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Oh, my God.
That would be interesting acting. What do you think?
I am speechless.
That would be
that
very
was
powerful.
Quite a performance.
Instead, we got, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you, David Hayward. That's all we got.
And then she slowly went down out of camera range, and David was like, huh?
Yeah, right. That would have made my whole entire year if they did that. Like Dorian Lord did to David DeGrosse. I would have been so happy, but no. Instead, you get fat-ass David waking up the next day on Friday's episode with his gut all hanging out.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you
and his booby cakes, his man cakes.
His man boobs. Like Vincent, your days of being like bare chested on the show, that ended on like Guiding Light like all those years ago. You need to keep your shirt on. I really don't. You people talk about Dorian going down on David Vicarossi.
That was hot.
I do not want to see Vincent Arizari with his man boobs all over the place. That was not pretty.
Where did you gross
I was
out?
So grossed out.
Where did you gross out? Even just when they started kissing and making love?
It was gross.
The whole thing was revolting.
Grossed out.
You people, if you're looking for a slut metric, you ain't even close to getting it on this one. It was nasty.
You know what was nasty? Is why this storyline is nasty? Because it makes no sense. Because now she knows that he drugged her and she's still with him.
Yep.
And yet, supposedly, she's not taking those pills anymore. So that means that she's like weaned off of it. And yet, you know that he drugged you. And then that whole scene and her dialogue, I don't know what it is about you, first the pills and now sex, but you gotta hold up. It's so not believable. It's nothing about this reads true, and that's my big problem. And I feel so bad because you got two actors who can actually act, but they're being given a dog of a storyline.
One of them is giving a dog of a performance. That's all I'm gonna say about that. You wanna talk about Kathy being gone?
Yeah, another storyline that makes no sense, that's unbelievable.
I would have been happy if Kathy was happy that Crystal was
leaving.
Yes,
that would have worked for me. Thank you. I was thinking the same thing. If Kathy would have looked like a Tad and go, oh, Daddy, that just means it's me and you, I would have been more true. I mean, the fact that Kathy was upset about Crystal leaving was like totally stupid.
When has Crystal
bullshit.
Been a mother to Kathy?
Exactly. Kathy, the last time we saw them like together, Kathy supposedly still hated her. It's like, do you guys even know what you wrote 3 months ago? And then another thing that I found unbelievable, Tad and Crystal get in an argument, and Tad talks about how Jenny is the most important thing in his life, which is why Kathy probably ran away.
Yeah.
And I find that hard to believe that when Tad had Jenny, it seemed like Kathy was the most important thing in his life.
I'm going to tell you one thing, though. That little Kathy... beautiful little actress.
Much better than Randy and Colby put together.
I'm telling you. Isn't she
much
lovely?
Much better than Adam.
She's such a precious little girl. Her face gets really, like, she's so listening to what everybody around her says, and she really tried to make sense of it. I love her.
Meanwhile, she did an Emma, and she's missing in action, just like Emma was, like, a few months ago. So it's whatever. It is what it is.
Anyway, she's gone. She flew. She flew the coop.
Do we have much more to go?
We have a little more to go. Do you want to do it real quick?
What's next?
We got to talk about Zach and recent.
And then what's after that?
And just a little Jesse and Angie.
Let's do a little Jesse and Angie first, because we got a lot to say about that. Let's get through Jesse and Angie.
All right, fine. Jesse tells... this is part of the Davis storyline, but I had to separate it out because it was just too good. We have Angie's arraignment toward the beginning of the week, which just pissed me the hell off that we were even there. Jesse tells her just to get it over with and admit she's guilty. He says,
"Baby, I'm just trying to help you, baby."
And she says, "Baby, you sure weren't babying me when I was being booked." I loved it. And then, at least, I was so happy that at least Angela was pointing out the stupidity of this. Still, Jesse's somehow defending his stupidity.
"Can't you see what David Hayward is doing to us? Forcing you to manipulate the law and forcing me to arrest my own wife."
"Nobody forced you to do anything. You're chief of police." And then Jesse says,
"Angela, that doesn't give me the right to look the other way, and I never thought you would expect me to either."
Dumb.
Okay, I'm gonna speak.
You gotta say something.
I have to. As much as I love the fact that we're not seeing Rebecca, and we only saw Natalie or Natalia.
Natalia's big poofy head.
I gotta say this. You know why I'm annoyed with this? Because I don't believe it. I don't believe for one minute that Jesse would arrest Angie, regardless.
Shut up!
Regardless about the law or anything, that is his wife. That is his love that he's been away for 20 years. Second of all, David didn't force Angie to go against the law and manipulate the laws and whatever. Angie chose to break into David's mansion. She didn't have to do that. She chose to do that. So David, this whole thing of like David manipulating them, like David has something out for them. You see what I'm saying? Like the dialogue is stupid. It's like Jesse's trying to make David seem like Darth Vader. He's out to get everybody. Natalia being a... she just was talking to Frankie, like, not last week about maybe becoming a police officer. Now that she's in uniform.
Insane.
And nobody... I'm sorry. Nobody would wear their hair like that in uniform. Because if you're a cop and you had to go get a perp, all the perp had to do was pull your weave off your head.
Thank you. No, it's so true. It was like they put this cap over her poodle head.
Poopy hair. And she looked... she looked like the only penis. I'm sorry. That's what she looked like.
Haven't the hair and makeup people ever heard of a bun?
I could not get over how stupid she looked. She looked so stupid. And her talking to Angie when supposedly she wants her mother back with her father, yeah, she's giving Angie advice saying, "Don't worry, you guys will work through this."
That's what I
hate
about
Natalia. You've been through so much.
How have we established the age of this young person? It really should not be more than 19. And she goes around telling everybody in town how to do their business. She tells Randy how to have sex. She tells Angie, a grown woman, how to deal with her husband. I mean, it bothers me and offends me to my core.
I hate
these people.
Hate
if you want to abort somebody, re-abort.
Re-abort Natalia.
Don't re-abort Josh. Re-abort Natalia and Rebecca. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, guys. I love me my Jesse and Angie, but this seems like you're trying to give them something because you have nothing else to give them.
We got 4 minutes for Reese and Zach and Bianca and Erica and Kenzel. We got Erica continuing to be a bitch at Fusion. And that whole weird joke where Bianca tells Erica to use what she's got. And then Petey says, "Yeah, my mother told me the same thing."
Guys, we're being 100% serious.
Honest.
I don't get it.
If you understand that joke.
And I actually called her and I told her, I don't get it at all. I don't know what the writer is trying to like.
What is the joke?
What is the joke?
We did not get it. My mother told me to use it.
You should use what you got, and Opal told Petey, use what you got. I don't get it. All right.
Bubianca's boobs were ginormous in that black dress she was wearing.
She could feed all of Africa with those things.
I'm telling you, she got some delightful memories, that Bubianca. The wedding dresses arrive. Was it how many days after Josh died?
Don't get me started.
All right,
on that
fine.
Again.
And they're all excited. Erica threatens to call the wedding off if they try them on. And everybody knows what she was doing was referring to the superstition of seeing the bride's dress before the, you know, wedding, whatever.
Well, it's true. You want to be treated like equals and you got to do the superstitions too.
All right,
just
fine.
Just the way the breeders do.
Greenlee walks in.
That's what they call you guys. Breeders.
She's so crazy.
You never heard that term?
I never heard it.
You never heard that term?
No.
Ooh, that's why I call you guys breeders.
Well, Greenlee walks in and Booby and Reese announce that a double bridal shower is going to happen. So they're going to do a double bridal shower too. And I'm just, my finger is in my throat.
But amazing
because
they
my,
did the shower
the bile.
Like in 24 hours.
Well, they can always do that. They're so rich that they could just make something happen overnight. But all right, so Bubianca, Reese, and Erica run home to try on the dresses. And I'm just like, this whole thing is weird. They literally put a curtain up. Because what little Miranda slid a curtain through the whole. They like literally had someone install a curtain so they could try them on at the same time.
What I don't understand, why couldn't they try them on at Fusion?
I don't understand.
And do the same thing.
I don't get any
Why did
of
they
this.
Have to run home to try it? Oh, I know. So Zach can run into
Reese
with her towel
with
on.
A towel for
and then
off.
She drops her towel and they both look at each other and get a good look. Before she picks it up and runs away. It was so... It was
yes,
very...
Yes, people,
it was
that
very
did happen.
Predictable. It was very trite. It was very obvious. And I'm over it.
But here's my other question.
Over I'm over it.
Here's my other question. When they drop... Because what happened was they try on the dresses and Erica and Opal hate them for some reason. Are we supposed to hate the dresses?
All right. I gotta say, I personally thought that Bianca looked like a Greek goddess. I thought she looked very Athena. I thought for a lesbian wedding dress, that was perfect. I don't know what the hell Reese had on. That was the most hideous thing.
Reese's dress
with that big bow on the side.
That dress could use some dress.
It was a horrible,
it
bland,
was horrible.
Boring
but
dress.
But listen, but it wasn't awful enough for me to understand how awful Erica and Opal thought they were. It just was, the whole thing was weird. And then, and the other thing I'm going to point out to y'all is they put Bianca in potato sacks and put Reese in hardly nothing. Did you see when they made love?
Uh-huh.
They put Reese in this little tiny, you know, black negligee number that fit for like a Marilyn Monroe. All right? They made Bubianca wear a nightgown, made her look like Jan Brady.
She was wearing a flannel thing, right?
It was like
was
a flannel Jan Brady nightgown. Remember Jan Brady,
she's
the nightgowns?
Lesbian. They like the flannel. Ooh.
he said it, not me, people. Listen.
They like looking like Ethel Merton in the last season of I Love Lucy in Connecticut.
But why does she need to look so frumpy next to Reese, who I actually don't think looks that good in clothes because she's too skinny to me?
I think depending on the outfit, it could work on her, the skinniness.
Tamra Braun, I'm going to say right now.
No, I agree with you. She's way too thin.
She's
but
too thin, but not only
given
that.
They've like two or three outfits that flatter her thinness.
But not, I don't think so. See, I don't agree. And I think her face is starting to take a toll. I don't mean to be hating on Tamra Braun. I really don't. But I think her little skinny thing is getting to her face. Because her face looks all sallow sometimes. I don't know. She didn't look good to me. Anyway, all right, so listen. At least we had our Opal looking up to the sky and saying, Mert, we need you. I like that.
I love me some Opal.
I love her. And then we had the whole towel dropping thing, which you talked about.
That was stupid.
And then next morning, the Scissor Sisters woke up together. Listen,
come on, let's speed this up.
At least we got at least we got some beautiful hot lesbian love in that morning.
I know, but I gotta.
Was sexy.
I got a Kettle One Sex on the Beach waiting for me. Hurry
that
up.
That was sexy though, right?
Yeah, that was hot.
Okay.
No, cool. I like the lesbian love.
I like it too.
It's so very the L word.
And that's okay, so then the day, that's the day of the shower. Mm-hmm. So that's when Erica comes in wearing that fierce green dress. And Greenlee finally shows up. She's looking like a 60s, like, mod doll. I liked it, though. You didn't like it? The pearls around the neck was a little much, but...
Right.
Anyway, Erica invited Claire. And Greenlee accuses her of throwing stink bombs. And then Mandy comes in looking like old Pamela Anderson with her pencil-thin eyebrows and her outline lips. I don't know what she was doing. But then we open the door, and who comes in? The angels from above... Fly down, the trumpets sound.
birds are chirping, and Miss Anna Stewart as Miss Mary Smythe comes in. She looked gorgeous, first of all.
Yes.
What she was wearing was this black kimono type thing. It was amazing and astounding. I loved it. And her hair looked beautiful, and she's the best actress. And this is when Greenlee is at her best.
Yes. Those were some good three scenes. Those were some good dialogue between
those
the two of them.
Those were some good three lines.
Let me tell you
the best three lines of the week was Anna Stewart.
I said it at the beginning of the podcast, and I'll say it again. Anna Stewart was amazing. How you guys cannot see that you need this woman on contract and that you need her and Erica to be going at it is beyond me. I love me some Mary Smythe.
She says to Greenlee, "So, you and Brian, why didn't you call me, darling?" Greenlee says, "I didn't know the area code in Rotterdam." I thought that was awesome. And then Mary Smythe leaves after one more line. So I think she had four lines total. And I did like, okay, here's where you and I disagree. I think. Because I like the interaction between Bianca Reese and Claire, her mother, her psycho mom. You didn't like it? I liked it. I thought the mom was good.
Say it.
You gotta wanna go have a sex on the beach.
I would love to have sex on the beach.
Ah!
Oh, you meant the drink.
Drink.
Okay. No, I thought the actress playing Reese's mother was brilliant and amazing, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because she's a smart actress. Why? Because she realizes that the material is not that great, and she decided not to go one note. And this is my problem with a lot of the rest of All My Children cast. Is that even though the material may not be great, you as an actor have to be true to the character and play what's not written between the lines. Otherwise, your character's going to look one note and one dimensional.
Bobby Eats.
And I felt that her character was deep and rich, and she was playing things that I'm sure the writers did not have intended, because you know what? My sympathy went to her, not to the lesbians. And I'm going to say why. Because the lesbians overreacted. First of all, Reese's mother made an attempt to try to reach out to her by coming to this. Her asking Amanda and Randy if they were lesbians, it's a fair question.
It is not a fair question.
Wait,
that's
wait,
ridiculous.
Let me finish
that's
my thought.
That's a rude question.
No,
Go ahead. Let me
finish. The two of them were on top of each other. This is a woman who is not familiar with being around gays and lesbians. She is trying her best. Now, if she were to have been nasty about it, or the same thing that everybody in the box was like, oh, she didn't want to see the baby. What is it? She give her a second. She has a lot to try to swallow. She's reaching out to her daughter and she's making an attempt.
And before
her showing up was reaching out.
Her showing
Ashley,
up, but she was bitchy the whole
up,
time. She was nasty, bitchy.
I did not feel that she was being bitchy. I felt she was being a little
she
bit reserved.
She slapped the shit out of Reese. That girl fell
Reese in. Deserved the slap.
That woman
no,
flew into the next
no,
set.
No, I disagree with you. Reese deserved the slap, and I'm going to tell you why.
You didn't see her back through the window, which is AXA.
Reese deserved the slap, I'm going to tell you why. Reese overreacted. She embarrassed her mother in front of everybody. Her mother asked a simple, innocent question. The mother said it with, it was a curiosity. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. I don't feel the mother was being
he
rude.
Is so reaching people
no,
on this.
I'm not reaching beyond this. I'm being
why
serious.
Did Bubianca go I'm off on her serious. Then? Why did I'm Bubianca go off on her then? Bubianca's a good judge of character. She knows that
Bubianca
Claire lady is full
lost,
of shit.
Bubianca's lost any credibility after what she pulled on her sister by taking her brother-in-law's sperms. Don't give me that.
Well,
I'm being honest with you. I honestly found the scene to be offensive. I really think, you know what? You got somebody who obviously has issues with homosexuality, and she's trying to reach out and understand. And instead of you grasping and trying to help her to understand, you embarrass her. That's your
Jordan,
mother.
Jordan, I'm appalled.
No, that's your mother.
Listen, that's the Puerto Rican in us, people. I agree with that. You don't disrespect
do that
your mother. You don't
and that's
disrespect
why she deserved
mother.
A slap.
I agree
the
with that.
The things that
Fine.
She said to her mother
Fine.
Were horrible.
But here's where
horrible.
You messed up. Is that she did go, yes, she reached out, but she still said things that were homophobic and nasty.
You better rewatch the episode. Because
you better rewatch
no,
it too.
No,
she wasn't good.
No.
She kept saying, she kept wanting her to go back to Simon. She kept
no,
saying,
she did not say that she wanted her to go back. When Zach confronted her, that's when she said, oh, she doesn't know what she wants. That was
Can
wrong
of
her
question?
To say that.
Can I ask you a question? What? Wouldn't you? You are an openly gay man, right?
Yes.
Who likes women once
yes.
in a while?
I started out with women.
Yes, you did.
I was straight.
Here's my question. Here's my question. Your parents know you're gay.
They know that I like men. Yes.
Okay. How would you feel if your parents actually had to freaking process that you were gay? That would be really hard, don't you think?
If your parents needed time to accept the fact that their kid was gay, oh my God, I'm gay.
No, you're not.
That is hard for somebody. I think that's messed up.
First of all, why
do you have to take time? The kid's gay. The kid's not dying. The kid's not unhealthy. The kid's in a loving relationship. That's all that matters. That's it.
I'm sorry. I gotta step in again.
Won't you be upset?
No.
What if you had to hide from your parents the way Reese had to hide from her mother all those years?
Yeah, but we don't know that Reese is hiding
anything. She did! She said she hid it from her mother. She knew she was different. She knew it wasn't right.
Then why does she have feelings for Zach?
Because she's a crazy bitch.
No, see, that. This is why I get mad about the storyline. Because I don't believe that Reese is really gay.
I agree with you.
And that's my problem with all of this. That's why I feel that...
She and Bianca are best friends that have really hot sex.
Yeah. How can you say that her mother's wrong when she admits in the scene after that she has feelings for Zach? How can you admit that her mother might not be right?
Because her mother is a nasty bitch.
Maybe her mother knows Reese. Maybe her mother knows Reese better than you do.
You are giving way too much credence to this storyline.
As somebody who is gay, I mean, if you want to call me gay, I like men. I like women.
I'm very openly sexual.
But look, I found it to be offensive because you know what? This is my problem with when they write storylines like this. And the same thing with people of color storyline. One of the reasons that Jesse and Angie's storyline worked back in the 80s and why it was such a big deal and all the soap magazines called them the first black super couple on a soap opera. You want to know why it worked?
Why?
Because when Agnes Nixon wrote the storyline, she didn't write the storyline as black people. She wrote the characters as human beings that happened to be black. And when you're going to write a story about gays and lesbians, you have to write it in a very universal way so that people that are not can understand and can find something to relate to. And right now, the way they overreacted and the way I found it very offensive. I did.
Well, listen.
I found Reese's behavior to be offensive. That's your mother. She's trying her best. Meet her halfway.
I don't feel like the mother was trying her best.
I disagree with you. I mean, Erica called her up and invited her, and she made the effort to come, Ashley.
But she said some nasty things
again,
to her daughter.
What nasty things? She asked those two women that were humping each other on the sofa. They were lovers. That's not nasty.
You people, I'm going to play. At the end of the episode of the Pine Valley Podcast, you're going to hear a rebroadcast of the scene
you're
between.
You're going to edit it.
I would never do that. I would never do that.
She had a smile on her face, and she goes, are you a lesbian couple too? That's all she did. She asked a simple question, and Reese went ballistic.
Because she's treating Randy, time out.
Randy and Amanda were all over each other on the sofa.
But let me ask you let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why that question's offensive.
I don't find it offensive.
This is why it's offensive. Because you are a lesbian. This shows her lack of understanding of lesbians. Just because you are gay means all you hang out with is gay girls and gay women and this and that. You can't have all kinds of people in your life. You have to be just... It just seemed very stereotypical.
Right. Okay.
And very offensive.
And I understand what you're saying. She had a lack of understanding. So you know what? You help her understand. You don't attack her. You don't yell at her. You don't embarrass her in front of a bunch of people
That's your
mother.
All right, fine. I agree with that.
All you do is look at her and you go, Mom... Just because we're lesbian doesn't mean that everybody...
But they don't have a good relationship because her mother rejected her when she found out she was gay. Do you understand that?
Okay, and I disagree with you on that too.
She did! What are you talking about? How do you say that? That's a fact!
Before she was gay, her and her mother didn't have a good relationship. Her mother never had a good relationship. Had nothing to do with her being gay.
And then when she finds out she wasn't marrying Simon and she was gay, she rejected her daughter.
Yeah,
I'm gonna replay people after the show ends. You're gonna play for you the scene between Reese and her mother when the slap happens and how disrespectful both were to each other.
Well, yes, they were both disrespectful to each other after everybody left out. Yes, I agree with you. They were both, but again, the actress who played the mother.
I'm mad at you, Jordan.
The actress who played the mother was so good because you know what? She regretted slapping her face. You saw that she was hurt by the situation. You saw that she does love her daughter, and she really was trying. And that's what you're missing out on.
I'm still mad at you, Jordan.
I don't think that was in the writing at all. I think that was the actress making a smart choice.
Well, I don't think it's such a smart choice to watch all my children these days. They make me mad at you.
And then, because you're wrong, Ashley.
All right,
you're wrong.
Don't say I'm wrong. That's not nice.
Okay, I'm not going to say you're wrong.
You're not wrong, but I disagree.
You're not right.
Well, I think we could both agree on the next thing.
What, that hideous scene when she confesses to Zach that she has feelings for her?
Yes.
What was that? Can you explain what that scene was about?
I agree with you 1,000%.
That was a big what the f***. That's all I kept saying when I was watching.
That's right. That's all I kept thinking.
No sense. No sense whatsoever.
They kick Claire. Zach kicks Claire out, and then Reese confesses that she
has a connection.
No, but hear me out. She says that Bianca's the only person she's ever felt like this about, except for Zach. And then she has to ask Zach what he thinks about her. And then Zach's phone rings, and it's the news that Kendall has awoken. And I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't like it? Did you not like it?
What?
I like Kendall's moment of waking up.
Okay.
That was lovely. She looked so beautiful. She had tears in her eyes.
I'm going to say this. Before Kendall went in her coma, we were literally having Alicia pushed down our throats for like a year and a half. Some of it was great stuff, like when the babies were, you know, when the baby first had the issue with the ear and all that. But the last few months, she was quite annoying and not the Kendall we love. But this is what's so great about them putting her in a coma for 4 months, because it makes you appreciate her now. I didn't realize how much I missed my Alicia Minshew until she woke up.
Well, she also did beautiful work.
Exactly. And I realized, you know what? She's like Michael Knight. She could turn manure into gold. Mm-hmm. And even though those scenes were ridiculous, even though it was horrible, unlike Rebecca Budwig, our Alicia came through and played those scenes like hell. Did. And I'm glad that my Kendall's woken up.
I was crying for the first time in a long time that I watched All My Children.
I love that my
Kendall's. And by the way, Shadow, or whoever said it, those are not fake eyelashes. Those are real. That's how crazy her eyes are.
I gotta tell you guys.
She's got eyes like Bambi. She's perfect.
She wasn't wearing a stitch of makeup. And in case you guys didn't realize, she is classic Hollywood beauty. Absolutely she is like Vivian Lee.
She was not wearing a stitch of makeup.
She was beautiful.
Not a stitch.
Her and Amanda, they don't even need to put makeup on the two of them. Those two could run around the show without makeup and they still look good.
No kidding. Anyway, we'll cut this short because we are so out of time and Jordan really needs his sex on the beach. The drink, that is.
But, it's too cold. Okay.
He might take it. At this point, he might take it. Listen, the only thing that I will tell you is that when Zach finally comes in, I would have liked some tears from Zach. I didn't get that from Zach. Well, don't you think he would have cried
with joy? No, I think the whole last 10 minutes of that show was rushed. I mean, everything was rushed.
18 billion things happened.
I mean, that character just comes out of a coma and you're throwing all this stuff at her?
She finds out that she's been asleep for 3 months.
That she's been given a new
heart.
That David is the doctor on her case.
He's back because he wasn't back when she was in the coma. She finds out that she got Josh's heart. She finds out that her sister's getting married, finds out that her sister has a kid, and that the kid is Zach's.
All right, whatever happened to that? Okay, she just had heart surgery, so we got to make sure that we don't say anything that's going to upset her.
It's just weird.
That's what happens.
In real life, you draw this crap out.
And exactly. And my problem also with it was the fact that, like, that dialogue with Susan Lucci, I'm sorry, that was awful. The fact that she was like, but it's okay that you got Josh's heart because at least something came out of your brother's death. And now you can help me with your sister's lesbian wedding. What? Oh, that was awful, Ashley.
Susan
Lucci.
Don't
tell me you thought that was good.
Hells no. Susan Lucci fake wiped a tear from her eye.
It was the most horrible.
I was horrified.
If it was not for Alicia Minshew,
she was beautiful, luminous, lovely.
This is what I'm talking about, how she's a good actress. Because you know what?
She is
the
good.
Scene was stupid. It was stupid.
She looked
but
so
she
confused.
She played it nonetheless.
She was like, what the hell is going on?
She played the hell out of it nonetheless. And you know what? When Bianca finally told her about the sperm donor. I realize how stupid that storyline is.
Well, right.
Because it makes no sense that these two people would keep the secret. No, but
it
really hit home, Ashley. Because now, as Kendall, we're watching, we're going, this is surreal. Surreal. And like the thing that irks me the most about it is like, if it wasn't such a big deal, why did you guys keep it a secret? See, that's what made it a big deal. Maybe she wouldn't have been upset if you guys would have been upfront from the get-go.
I saw the documentary on Ted Haggard, Pastor Ted. He's the guy that was the evangelical that led this big-ass church. And I shouldn't say big-ass church, should I? That's sacrilegious. Anyway, he led this big-ass church, and he was all about, you know, heterosexuality and man and a woman and gays are wrong and all that. he went gay. He was caught with a gay lover.
Gay. He was always gay. He was always getting it up the butt.
All right, fine. Well, here's my point. My point is that he had a sermon. I saw this special last night on HBO. There was a documentary. He had a sermon in 1997 where he said, if you have to lie, if you have to keep it a secret, if you can't tell everybody about what you're doing, then you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. It's probably wrong. And you know what? He's right. If you can't tell the world about what you've done or your action or whatever it is that you think you want to do, then it's wrong.
That was very astute. Just,
I'm telling you, just like in Sober House, if Steven Adler had to take heroin in secret in the bathtub, then there's something wrong with the fact that he's doing it.
All right, last question from Miss Kane, because we love Miss Kane. Miss Kane wants to know, what moment in All My Children history will you never forget? Miss Kane's response is Jenny on the jet ski. And I got to tell you, Miss Kane, I'm with you on that. That's a moment, because remember, those were the days before Soap Opera Weekly and Soap Opera Digest told us everything that was going to happen. So, I mean, I don't even think I knew Kim Delaney was leaving the show. And I literally was so shocked when it happened. I think that moment, and of course the infamous moment when Steve Jacoby went down in the plane and we thought Nina died, but it wasn't Nina.
Wow.
You remember that episode?
I don't remember.
Oh my God,
that.
It was a Friday. And
I watched at that time, but I don't remember specifically.
They made us believe that Nina had gotten on the plane with Steve. Like, for all intents and purposes, the last time we saw Nina, her and Steve were getting on the plane.
Mm.
And Cliff was dating somebody that kind of looked like Nina at the time, and they were also at that ski lodge or wherever they were. And on that Friday's episode, the plane crashed. And you saw Steve Jacoby, and they drew him out, and then the plane exploded, and the woman in it was, like, burning up and whatever. And, like, I thought, and everybody in my family thought that it was Nina. And we were, like, gagging until Monday. We were like, oh, my God, they killed Nina. I cannot believe they killed Nina. And then, of course, on Monday, they bring the body in, and the body's burned, like, beyond recognition or whatever. But the actress that was playing the girl, she looked a lot like Taylor Miller. Like, she was like a brunette version of Nina. So, like, they all thought it was Nina. And then at the end of the episode, when Nina came in, because she didn't take the plane, but she drove, that's something that will stay in my head forever.
Oh, I have to say, just because we were so out of time, I actually have to say when Jenny actually died, I just remember her on that deathbed telling Greg and him.
Go on dreaming.
I can't.
That's what she told you.
I kind of cry. I can't do it. Listen, we are out of time, and I didn't finish watching One Life to Live.
That's your bad luck.
All right,
you missed out.
You got 2 minutes, because we don't got time.
All right, I'm going to just tell you, One Life to Live was phenomenal.
I saw Monday through Wednesday.
Phenomenal. Again, Florencia Lozano. I mean, Frank Valenti, what are you doing? Sign this woman to a 4-year contract.
No, don't. She should be in the movie. She should be a big star.
She is amazing. Those scenes with Star.
What was she
brilliant.
Doing there? Was she really manipulating Star?
I mean, yes, she looked, the lawyer.
The second she left that room, the tears dried up.
Yeah, the lawyer and her was doing whatever she had to do to protect her client. But I don't doubt.
I think even she felt guilty about it. Don't you think?
I don't think. I don't think that she was. I don't think she was not being sincere with what she was telling Star.
That was evil.
But definitely, I mean, I don't think it was evil.
She made Star believe that her father jumped, at least for a moment.
No, no, no.
For a moment.
Her father did try to kill suicide.
But not because of her. Not just because of her. Because Marty said.
She never told Star.
She insinuated that.
She didn't even insinuate. Star jumped to that conclusion. Star jumped to that conclusion.
She didn't dissuade Star from thinking that, though.
Well, no, she manipulates. That's what
That's
she's good
saying.
At.
It was
but
evil.
All I know is
but
that
it was
Taya was fabulous. Florenzi was fabulous. And then Dorian and David Vicarossi.
I don't
want
to know what happened.
That was the beginning of the week.
All right, didn't happen at the end of the week?
No, no, but okay, you saw all that stuff when they were trying to get the sign and Rex came in and ruined it for her. How brilliant was Robin Strassman when she was like, water, there's no water at the table. And he wasn't even like up and away from the table. And she turns around, she goes, what are you trying? Yeah.
My favorite.
Robin Strassman was
amazing. My favorite is when Rex goes, I guess orange is the new black.
Yeah.
And David goes, actually, it's saffron.
Yeah. Or when they all came in wearing the robes and David goes, some storm.
Landy's running out of robes.
Oh my God. But the best line had to be when Cole, who's all drugged up on those drugs, confronted Todd and Taya at the table. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. He confronts them at the table, and he gets all up in Taya's face.
That was Wednesday,
Yeah, that was Wednesday. He gets all up in Taya's face, And she says something to him, and he's like, excuse me, I don't speak bitch. I was on the floor. I was like, work. So it was brilliant. So and the look on Todd's face, Todd was like, hey, be careful, be careful. It was so great. Now, I don't want to ruin Thursday and Friday's episode for Miss Ashley.
It's a trial, right?
The trial was brilliant. Let me tell you something. The trial, you guys, you got the whole weekend. Get on SoapNet if you haven't seen it.
I'm going to watch it.
The trial was brilliant.
As soon as you go to have sex on the beach, I'm going to watch it.
Taya and Nora and Star. Oh, my God. If Star does not win Best Younger Actress.
She nominated? We don't know.
The nomination haven't come out for last year, but she was brilliant on, oh, my God. It was so heart-wrenching to watch. And this girl is such an and then you think she's only like, what, 16 in real life?
She's young.
And Kobe's 25 and she still can't act.
What the hell was Kobe wearing at the shower?
That thing on her head, that monion.
And then the red top and the...
But the one thing that I gotta tell you right now, I wanna slap Natalie down. She was so wrong on Friday's episode. Let me tell you. All I'm gonna say is, Natalie, I will slap you down.
He's going to slap you in the titties, Natalie.
I will
Natalie.
Slap you on those big titties of yours for what the way you treated your sister, the way you talked to your sister. I don't give a damn that she told you that she wanted it. You and your man killed her husband, even though I'm glad because I never liked Nash. But anyway.
That's sacrilege.
I didn't like Nash.
I like him.
I hated Nash. I so want her with Brody. But the way that she treated her sister was wrong, dead wrong. She wants to take those kids from her. Oh, and let me tell you, wait till you see the scene between the two of them. Ooh,
I'm going to be throwing two chancletas at the television.
It was hot.
All right, people. I'm petered out. I'm exhausted. The podcast has run 8 hours and 72 minutes. It's time to end.
All right, but remember, guys, send your questions to the email address because
email
it's easier,
us. It's much easier
it's
to
much
keep
easier,
track.
Sometimes in the blog, it's hard.
And Louis is trying to help us with a new blog format. So
we're gonna work on that.
We'll work on that with Louis. He's so great. He did the theme song again at the beginning, so he's astounding.
And keep emailing questions.
Keep emailing the questions to us.
And also keep blogging. There's a bunch of new bloggers this time.
Yes.
I'm not familiar, like Hillbilly.
And all blog posts are welcome.
Yes,
no matter how crazy, how long, it doesn't matter.
How much I don't agree with you because you're wrong, you're still welcome.
Agnes Nixon, you gotta come back.
Yes, Agnes.
I didn't see you this week, Agnes Nixon.
We want you back.
So, all right, people, listen. Like Jordan said, email us your questions, your comments, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. You can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/Pine Valley Podcast. Shut up.
Don't go there. She don't check that. That's a waste of your time.
Or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. You get a link to the blog site, a couple of little links. Go to Super Poster's page. He is the man. www.myspace.com/SuperPosterOfTheYear. Thank you so much for listening. And here is the clip between Reese and her mother, Claire. And you can decide for yourself whether you agree with Ashley that she's a bitch.
And you better not edit it in your favor.
I will not.
She will.
Here's a little clip just for you.
So are you two a lesbian couple as well?
What? We just make this a little more PC.
No, no, mother. No, Randy and Amanda, they are heterosexual. And unlike some people, they can actually enjoy themselves with friends who are not straight.
Does that make you happy? Embarrassing me like this? Well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's all you ever tried to do to me. Well, excuse me if this lifestyle choice of yours is still rather confusing.
Shut up. Mother, just shut the hell up. Don't you want to know what it's been like living a lie? I mean, Mom, I was so in the closet, I didn't even know it myself. All I knew is that I did not feel the way my friends felt about boys, and so I just hid my feelings. I hid my feelings because I knew that they would not approve, and I knew that you would not approve. And yeah, I let it go on with Simon way too long because I was trying to figure things out. I was confused. And you know what? I didn't want to hurt you.
Well, it did hurt me, and it still hurts me.
All my life, you have tried to force me into being who you think I should be instead of who I am, and you are still trying. Why? Why? Is it because your life is so screwed up? Is it because you found yourself trapped in a marriage that's unhappy with no sex at all? You broke Dad's spirit. You are trying to break mine. There's no way to...